My guest this afternoon is the Chelan County Sheriff, Brian Burnett. Good afternoon, Sheriff Burnett.
Good to see you, Kevin.
It is good to be seen. I suppose that's better than the alternative. Yeah. So last Monday, Deputy Jennifer Tyler was here, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to come on and talk a little bit about what she talked about in that sense of, you know, not only is she trying to run a campaign for Chelan County Sheriff, but she's also leveling some accusations, and I think we've maybe have touched on it in the past, but we do want to kind of get an opportunity to let you to kind of answer for some of the things that she was talking about. Not that's really not the right word, but I was just kind of wondering what your kind of overall impression, if you got the opportunity to listen to the interview, and sort of what your thoughts were as you were listening.
Well, I did listen to part of it. I wasn't able to listen to all of it, so I may or may not know, you know, some of the accusations or everything that she talked about on the show. So I guess we'll have to kind of go at your lead.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting that that she talked about, and that's not radio. I'll move the monitor so you can see me. But one of the things I thought that was kind of interesting from somebody who's an outsider, and this idea of what they call the thin blue line, and I don't know if that has been anything you've ever experienced, of the idea of that concept of the thin blue line, where you're all law enforcement's kind of there, one unit, which is great in that sense, but it can present some challenges. What in your past experience have you ever experienced that idea of kind of that thin blue line, and you don't cross that line, you don't go against your own kind of that idea?
I think the concept that she was referencing to that kind of takes me back to the old NYPD Blues show.
Oh.
Where, you know, you just don't tell on someone, or you don't hold people accountable, even though it's the right thing to do, because we're police officers or we're firefighters, whatever. You could put that into any profession.
Right.
You know, it could be medical profession. It could be anything. There's a lot of differences, though, around the nation and how culturally acceptable, what has it been, what are their hiring practices, I mean, you know, what's been allowed, you know, as far as acceptability. And to me, and I'm going to take it back, what I believe thin blue line and what it means to me is we protect our own. And it doesn't mean that we go above and beyond the fact that to do things that are unethical or especially illegally to do so. But I think it starts more at the lower level. One, what are your hiring practices? Who are the people that you're hiring? And the quality and the level. And what is it? What's the message that you're driving home during that hiring process and your field training process? And I'll try not to throw too many, acronyms out there, but FTO means field training officers in the training process for new police officers. And so in what you try to do, and what we're trying to do in the sheriff's office, reaching back 8 years ago, was saying we needed to change some things culturally. Now, I don't believe that the thin blue line has ever been across the board here acceptable, but there's some, you know, maybe individuals would take that concept, but we don't. And so what we want to do is we want to drive that message home to our new hires and the people that are working here and been here a long time, to say that we hold one another accountable at the first level, you know, peer to peer. It shouldn't have to go from, you know, from a line level to a supervisor to middle management to upper level leadership. And so when we look at all those different pieces, to say, what are things we put in place to make sure that we're managing it and actually doing that? Because eventually it takes care of itself when the police is its own. Then you have the fact that, you know, this profession has a lot of baggage that goes with it. You know, whether it's considered post-traumatic stress and the things that you see and you do, working nights, all of those things added up, working holidays, weekends. And so then we have to say, are we managing and making sure that our people are taken care of physically, spiritually, and emotionally? And that's something that I learned personally when I attended the National Academy back in the fall of 2015, which is executive level leadership 10-week training course at Quantico, Virginia.
So then when a situation comes up, like, and we don't have to tackle that specific situation, but when a situation comes up, when a deputy comes to you or to whoever they need to talk to that says, I observed this, I saw this, or I feel this is going on, what is the departmental procedure in that. So let's say, you know what, you've got somebody in the field that, that is, you know, they try to hold their fellow law enforcement officer accountable, and for whatever reason it doesn't work. What is the sort of, how does the department handle those ideas?
Okay, well, obviously we have policies in place to do that, and we always try to do, and depending on the severity of the allegations, it's, we always try to handle it at the lowest level possible. Okay, so, you know, a lot of it could be, hey, maybe a chief, which is our middle manager, gets information, whether it comes from our own internally, our staff, or whether it comes from an outside source, the citizens. That information is taken by a chief, and then he looks at that and says, he or she looks at that and says, what level of severity is this, and where do we need to push this to? And we always try to take it down to the lower level, generally a sergeant, to say, can you look into it and see if there's any truth or accuracy to this? And then they would take that information if there was, and then that supervisor would handle that at maybe there was some truth to it. And is it a coaching counseling? Does it, require a written reprimand? If it goes to the level of something higher, as far as disciplinary, it could involve pulling what we call an internal investigation number, and then the chief would work on who's going to be the fact finder, and then all of that information comes up, and there's a process that goes with that as well.
Because one of those things that I think that, and I think we see this a little bit with officer-involved shootings, those situations where the police are investigating the police, and you never really investigate your own, it feels like, but sometimes it does. I would imagine the Chelan County Sheriff's, that you can't, every time there's something that needs to be looked into, you can't hand it off to Wenatchee PD or Douglas County or something like that. There's so much of that, you have to handle it yourself. And I would imagine that's got to be challenging. I've never had to do that on my end, but I would imagine for folks who are in IA, that is something that is super challenging, because you are looking in and hoping you don't find anything, but maybe you do in sort of investigating those deputies.
Right. In an actual internal investigation could be, you might have things going on at different levels. We've had detectives handle the fact-finding part of it. We've had supervisors handle the fact-finding. More severe cases, looking at larger consequences on the disciplinary side. It's handled generally by mid-management, as far as, our chief position. And then that would go up to the undersheriff for administrative insight. And then they would give me eventually there could be a pre-lateral hearing of, and I'm losing the words here for, potential, a discipline or consequences. And then again, a lateral hearing would be, for the employee to say, here's some mitigating and or other information that would make a difference in this case.
And so when you were coming up through the ranks, obviously you've been Chelan County Sheriff for a while now, but when you were younger and coming up through the ranks, were there situations in which you either had to either investigate another law enforcement officer, or you knew somebody on your team or somebody that was getting investigated? And sort of, what was your, how were you like emotionally reacting that? Because it's got to be challenging, especially if it's somebody you like and or respect.
For me personally, I didn't do a large amount of investigations, or really any investigations for that. Most of mine were coaching and counseling as a corporal, and or a sergeant, for my time. Coming up, I've been there, I've seen people be on administrative leave, over the course of time and being investigated for different things. And there's a process in place that protects the employee rights and the administrative rights. And follow that. If you follow that process, it's the right thing to do. Doesn't make that it's comfortable for anybody involved. Nobody likes it. Whether it's an employee, because it makes them feel like, hey, especially, somebody that hasn't done anything wrong, it could feel like, hey, this is very uncomfortable. I feel like the spotlight's on me, and I'm uncomfortable because it almost feels like people may be looking at me and thinking I have done this, and I truly don't like that. And then administration-wise, we don't like to put our people through that as well. But again, sometimes you need to go through the process, one, to sustain whether or not the allegations are true. And if they are, we need corrective actions to make sure that those don't happen again, to make the employee productive into the future. But the other part of that is to exonerate them. If those are false allegations, it needs to be shown.
Well, obviously, with the case involving the Chelan County Sheriff's Office, it started a little bit prior to when you were there, and you came into a situation What was the situation? What was the kind of the morale and the mentality of a lot of the sheriff's deputies when you kind of came in? And did you see where maybe that a deputy could feel not really ostracized, but kind of set apart? Somebody who's maybe, you know, that is neglected or doesn't want to be worked with or doesn't get the shifts. I mean, was that something that you came into as a department when you started at Cheyenne County Sheriff's?
Sorry, when I first started work or when I became the elected sheriff?
When you became the sheriff.
Yeah, right. When I became the elected sheriff, no, I mean, it was a challenging times. I would say that the first 18 months, starting in January of 2011 through about, you know, mid-year 2012, I would say was definitely probably the more tough. When you talk about drinking from a fire hose, I would say that's an underestimate of that scenario. I mean, you know, a lot of people said, okay, you got the tiger by the tail. Now what do you do with it? And, you know, there's a learning process there. I don't know if anybody's ever really ready fully, entirely to know exactly what it's going to be like to be the sheriff on a stress level. I've learned a lot of things. And been coached by my wife probably more than anybody. No, there was a lot of things going on, and you get approached by a lot of people. A lot of people want to feed you information. They want to test you to see, are you really approachable like you said you were? And culturally, we're talking about changing things, which means we're probably going to change some programs. So people have ideas that they want to pitch to you. And so, claiming to have an open door policy was something that, can be beneficial, but if you're not careful, can be tough for you as well, because what happens is we still have the chain of command. And so what I had to remember is I'm no longer the boots on the ground making the program happen. I'm in a support role to say I'm building those relationships with our community, with our contract cities, with our commissioners to make sure that we have the proper funding to do those programs. And so it was hard for me to learn at first to say when those people brought the ideas or, hey, Sheriff, you got a minute. There's something I'd like to share. I wanted to make sure that I was open to hear what they had to bring. But then at some point in time, you have to say, you know what? That sounds interesting. That sounds like a great idea, but I'd like you to take that, write it up, and then send it up the chain of command so it can go through the proper process. And, again, then we had some relationships there, with our contract cities, you know, for Leavenworth, Cashmere, and Antioch, Chelan. That was very difficult and trying to manage that middle ground, being the collaborator that I believe that I try to be and that I am, between the commissioner's office to make sure that that relationship worked for both the county and the cities. So there were a lot of things going on there the first few years.
This is Radio 560. KPQ time is 12:28. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the Chelan County Sheriff, Brian Burnett. When you're not used to doing this show, you forget things like turning down ABC so it doesn't come up in the middle of a commercial break. I guess it's could have come up when I was talking, and then I would have been really thrown off. Kevin Rounds filling in for Michael Knight today. Sheriff Brian Burnett from the Cheyenne County Sheriff's Office has been kindly enough to swing by and say hello to us today. And we were talking a little bit before the break about the kind of, you know, the environment that you came into as sheriff. Back in 2011, January 2011, you won the November race in 2010. Obviously, you had been with the Cheyenne County Sheriff's a while before. What were some of the things do you remember kind of that you saw in, whether it was training or somewhere in the department, that you were saying, this is why I want to run for sheriff, and where do those things live now, I guess? Because I would imagine you run for sheriff not because you just want a cushy job.
I'd go do something else. It's not that it's the physical part. And that's funny you say that, Kevin, because I get this a lot. The statement says, man, your job must be really stressful. And then once I start that conversation, and maybe somebody from the public or somebody I associate with, I realize that they're still thinking that I'm on the line going to the 911 calls each day. And I said, no, that's a way different type of stress level. My life was way less complicated when I worked on the street, versus administrative, internal, those type of things. Cause you're always dealing with internal people problems sometimes, versus, you know, the people that are calling for an emergency situation. And I recently had somebody walk into my office and said, hey, Sheriff, question for you. First 5 years or the last 5 years, which were the best? And I always say, I always go back to the first five because I just loved, I mean, that was my dream come true to step into this profession. So, but having said that, so yeah, culturally, Looking back, just that we would really get the support from the administration and to work as a team moving forward. There was a lot of moving parts. I know that there was a lot of mistrust from the General Association, the members, to the administration at the current time. And what happened was, is what I found out, that they wouldn't trust certain people at all, period, no matter what ideas or things they were trying to accomplish. And once I stepped into that role as the new sheriff, what I found out was that not everything that the past administration was trying to do was bad. But because those relationships and that trust had been broken, people would just push it aside and say, I think I'm done listening, because I don't know where truth and, no truth, where's that line there, and where can I really trust you? So stepping back in, and I don't know if I really saw all the moving components to say, man, I gotta grab over here and repair this and repair that. It was just in process and time, being who that I am and trying to go out there and be open and honest with our commissioners to say, this is exactly what our budget is. This is where we need to go in the future, and here's some things we need to do that. And I could remember them telling me, hey, Sheriff, if you need $100,000 to run this program, don't tell us you need 150. Trying to, elevate it, thinking that, well, then we'll drop that down, because Right. Then you'll get your 100,000. But then they also said, but on the other hand, don't minimize it either, saying, I don't think that the commissioner's office or the county can support that funding, so I'm only going to ask for 75. Drive it home, tell us what you need, be honest, as clear, and articulate that, and let us hand down the budget as we manage the rest of the county budget. And I think that's where it's been. And I remember Commissioner Ron Walter at the time told us, I think when I got my first budget. So when I stepped in as sheriff in 2011, I was working on the previous administration budget. And in 2012, we changed a lot of numbers working with our staff. And I can remember him, Commissioner Walter, saying, Sheriff, I think you got this much increase in your budget because you changed so much, we weren't sure what to believe. But over the course of time, they knew that we were feeding them real live information, and we would continue to try to keep them up to date as best as possible. And that's how I work with everybody I go about. Now, there's times where you're at the negotiation table and you gotta hold your cards closely. But at the same time, there's no smoke and mirrors like that. We try to really be open about and talking about what we believe is the right thing to do moving forward, always with the mindset of minimum liability for the county.
And you talked about bringing on new people. I'd imagine in your seven-ish years now, it'll be 8 years, I guess, next January as sheriff, you guys have had to try to bring through, you've lost some people either due to retirement or they've moved on to other jobs or the ultimate tragedy. But obviously you're bringing new people in and you're trying to get them used to your way, trying to get them to where they're just, they're slipped right in. They can move right in. How does the training go about that so that you can get them in, so they know the Chelan County way? They know what's expected of them when they come on board.
Okay. So Kevin, I'm guessing that you're speaking about when we bring a new person in and train them to be a police officer. Okay. And so we're looking at two different things. And one, backing up, is, if they're brand new, they've never worked in our agency. They don't know what it was before unless they've talked to somebody, and then that's one person's opinion that they've handed down. But moving forward, as we hire, we try to really spend the time to, are we doing our due diligence in the hiring screening process, and then in the testing process, the interview process, and making our final selection. And then the training process is when we bring them in. And so, a lot of things have been changed over the course of time. Back in the day when I first came on and as a field deputy in 1999, we used the San Jose model. It's approximately 12 weeks of training for the new person. But all of that training came after you went to the criminal justice training, basic law enforcement academy. So now what we did, and then our lateral hire is somebody that comes from another agency that has law enforcement experience. That was about a 4 to 6 week training process, and so much shorter. And so we went to, and this is not my lead, this was our trainers coming to us, looking around and talking about best practice. Hey, this is where we need to go in the future. We need to crank it up, and we need to do some things because we're gonna. We believe that we'll have better success at the success of our recruits and our lateral hires. That will make them higher performers and less stress involved. And so we brought in. We said, okay, across the board, we're going to full FTO period for our laterals. So when we hired our first couple laterals in the spring of 2012, they went instead of the 4 to 6 week, they went to the 12 week. And then later on, our staff came in and said, hey, we want to propose even in-depth and longer, a more progressive training. And we started what we call a pre- and post-academy training. So before we take a new recruit and send them to the basic law enforcement academy, they're going to come in and they're going to do 2 weeks, 80 hours, for what we call pre-academy training. It's going to set them up with a lot of different things. It's some hand-on stuff. It's policy stuff. And it's things that's going to help them prepare them to take the stress level off of them starting the academy so they can actually go in and focus and function to absorb that material and be better performers in the academy. And then when they get back, they're going to do another 80 hours after they graduate. So before, you just went to the academy, graduated, and almost the next day, you step into the car with a field training officer. Now you've got 2 weeks, 80 hours before the academy. Now you go off and do your 720 hours at the academy. 5.5 months later, you come back, and we're going to take 2 more weeks, and we're going to do some more in-house training, one-on-one with some of our use of force trainers and other individuals. And then you're going to step into the car with your field training officer, and you're doing, and then you're looking for another 420 hours of additional FTO time. It's going to be a total of 580 hours. What we're seeing, Kevin, it's phenomenal stuff, is that our people are graduating in the top three almost regularly. And even if they're not, we know that they're high performers. They're coming out, and our FTOs are saying, these guys are better prepared, they're higher functioning, it's better performance, and it just gives them a confidence level. And what that equals to is a better level of service for the citizens we serve. And so you just can't go around that. Now, a lateral hires is slightly different. They're going to do 80 hours, 2 weeks of pre-FTO. Okay, so they're going to come in and work with our use of force policy. I go over, there's a long list of things there. Then they're going to step into the car with the field training officer and do their 420 hours. And they will tell you, as a lateral hire, I can remember the first two that went through the basic model of stepping it up and increase. They said, it was painful. It was hard because I'd been working 8, 10, 14 years already doing the job. So I knew how to be a police officer, but I didn't know how to necessarily, how did that orientate back into Chelan County, the geography, our policy, our practices here, that they had to learn those things. But they said in the long run, they knew that it was very instrumental in how they were better prepared moving forward. So they definitely would back. And some of those people now are FTOs. They're field training officers themselves or even supervisors now, and saying that we believe in this program. And I just kudos off to our staff that brought that and had the guts to really bring that forward and say, we need to build this because it's not cheap. It's expensive. And it's a lot of one-on-one time. And fortunately, we have a system in place where we've got two part-time trainers that are also part-time traffic officers. So our relationship and our traffic emphasis unit that we have with Public Works has set us up to be able to do that moving forward into the future.
And I'd imagine if you go to somebody who's been in law enforcement before, either at a city level, a county level, or a state level, and you're like, okay, this is the plan, and they're like, wait, what? But I'd imagine, too, you have to explain the uniqueness of Chelan County, the uniqueness that you're trying to instill upon your deputies and throughout the staff. But I'd imagine there might be a couple of folks that might have looked at you askance and said, really? For that long? We need to go. I've done this job.
Right. We are, our new recruits are better trained and better equipped by far than, us with 15 to 20 years of experience. It's just hands down, no comparison. And I really think, it's the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. I believe, and this isn't patting myself on the back. This is patting our staff on the back and the people that have led this program, to say that we are the lead agency here, right here in North Central Washington, and we're partnering with Wenatchee PD and Douglas County and other agencies that are coming in and say, hey, there's other ways. Are there things that we can do together as agencies that we can train and incorporate our own trainers to minimize training costs? And that's another thing that we're looking at in the future, is how do we do that? I really believe that as far as mid-sized agencies in here in North Central Washington, we're really leading the way. And again, a big thanks to our staff that have made that happen.
We'll take another time out. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett. This is Radio 560, KPQ time, 1249. Kevin Round sitting in for Michael Knight this afternoon, talking with Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett. And Sheriff, we only got a few minutes left, so I did want to get to some of this other stuff. You were telling me a little bit before we went on the air today, you guys actually have a really cool opportunity to host a bit of a training or police leadership workshop seminar that's really going to be beneficial to the community. I want you to tell me a little bit about what is happening.
Right. So I talked about the National Academy I attended. That's a lot harder to get people into, and it's a lot of time. It's 10 weeks away from home. But this is something we worked with my staff, and we pushed on the Criminal Justice Training Commission to say, hey, can we host a training program here? It's called Police Leadership. And so basically it's a high-level leadership training for first line and mid-management. It's about a 10-week process. It'll start, there's an orientation on March 5th, and then they're going to go to class a week in March, and then they're going to have time off, and they're going to come back in April for a week, and they're going to have time off, and they're going to come back for another week in May, but in those off times, there's still homework that they got to be working on. And so being able to host it here a couple years ago when CJTC offered this class, it was $3,500 per applicant. And then I think they got some funding in there, and they were able to lower it to $1,200. But see, what we're doing here, and they're going to sponsor this, so the registration costs are going to be free. We're going to host it here in town in Wenatchee, and so there's no per diem cost. Well, that means hotel and food and travel. That's free training. So the only time that we're looking at cost at all is maybe do we have a little bit of a backfill as far as filling a shift and some overtime. Very, very minimal. And I thank Under Sheriff Matthews for pushing this one through. And then again, we get as many of our staff as we can get in there. And then we open it up to it's not just here locally. We want to get as many local agencies involved as possible, but they'll open it up statewide as well. It's a great opportunity for us.
What would that training, do you think, mean for the community? What kind of impact will we see in Chelan County?
Better leaders in our law enforcement all the way around, just looking into the future. One day, Kevin, and I'm not, and this is not 2018, but to give up the mantle, you know, I know I'm not going to be the sheriff forever. And my dream and goal, all along from day one as the Chelan County Sheriff was to say, we want to bring up people from inside to take over these positions, and it's say to kind of share our vision. But we also know at a certain point in time they're going to bring new talents and new skills for a new vision. But the base model of the culture, they get it, they know it, and it's going to be fun to be able to hand that off and say, "I, Chelan County Sheriff Brian Burnett, I support you." To get the community to back a person like this to be the next sheriff. And like I said, I don't believe it's now. There's a lot more left to be done. We're excited about being here and spending our energy to move forward into the future for the sheriff's office. And it's not just about the sheriff's office in Chelan County. It's about this valley. I mean, there's a lot of agencies here, and I believe we have good relationships, and we're going to even have an even better. I really believe that we're headed in the right direction for all agencies to work together.
Now you're going to have a couple of new sheriffs to work with here, at least locally, with Douglas County and Okanagan County having elections for this year. Also wanted to talk to you a little bit, too, about the fire season. We don't have a ton of time, but do you guys have what sort of role do you guys play in the fire season, and what do you want people to know about the Cougar Creek fire or any new fire that might start?
Right, and we try to, working with our emergency management, which is under the sheriff's office, is we work mainly with the notifications to know, let people where the fire's at. If it's drawing close, we got to get you out and evacuate in a safe manner, and then keep the roads safe for emergency workers and protect people's resources. So if you choose to evacuate, we know that we're not letting looters in to go take your property and your personal possessions and take advantage of that. So that's a big one. And then we work with the fire and the incident command teams to say, give us that information as soon as possible so we can put these plans in place to make it happen so we can move and make notifications and if people need to evacuate in a safe and timely manner. That's the biggest piece of that. And then to back to just say, thank you for your patience. This is not easy, and it can be, it's hot and smoky and people are inconvenienced. We get it. We know that. But thanks for being patient, working with us. We have some amazing emergency workers here and organizations through our fire departments that have really got their stuff together. And then our Type 1 management teams that are coming in from all over the nation to manage these incidents. We're very grateful to have those resources at our fingertips. So, again, but if you have questions you're not certain, keep asking until you get the answer, because we're there for you as a resource.
Cheyenne County Sheriff Brian Burnett, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kevin.
News Radio 560, KPQ time is 12:55.